الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, as well as our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver. On one occasion, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba radiallahu anhum, أَيُّ الْخَلْقِ أَعْجَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ إِيمَانًا. O my Sahaba, tell me, in your opinion, what is the most amazing of creation that is accepted? Iman. Which is the most creation, which is the most amazing of creation, which has accepted Iman. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they responded with the Malaika. They said, Al-Malaika. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, وَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Why would the Malaika not accept Iman and believe in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? وَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. When they are under the direct instruction of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, after the Malaika will come the Anbiya. So the Anbiya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْوَحْيُ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Why would it be the Anbiya, when the condition of the Anbiya is such that wahi is directed to them directly? So there's nothing amazing about that. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the only other option they had to say was themselves, the Sahaba. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again told him, وَمَا لَهُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Why would you not believe when نَبِيُّ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ? And why would you not believe when the Nabi of Allah is amongst you? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself gave the answer. And he said, أَلَا إِنَّ أَعْجَبَ الْخَلْقِ إِيمَانًا لَقَوْمٌ يَكُونُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِكُمْ فَيَجِدُونَ صُحُفًا فِيهَا كِتَابٌ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا فِيهَا. The most amazing of creation to bring Iman would be those people who would come after you. They would not find me as the messenger amongst them. They would come after you, then they would find the Quran Sharif, they would find the Hadith Sharif, and then they would still believe in the Quran and Hadith. My dear respected elders and brothers, that's you and I today. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this wonderful gift of Iman. As believers, we believe in the Day of Judgment. As believers, we believe in accountability in the court of Allah. As believers, we believe in Jannat and Jahannam. The most important thing in the life of a believer after Iman is Taqwa. For a person to be completely successful in the year after, then he has to have Iman and he has to have Taqwa. For a person to safeguard his Iman, he has to have Taqwa. And for attaining this Taqwa, Allah Ta'ala has prescribed upon us Siyam, fasting. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That fasting has been made prescribed upon you as farz, just as it has been prescribed on the ummats before you. We learn from this that this fasting is something tried and tested for achieving taqwa. Allah Ta'ala had prescribed it on the ummats before us and on our ummat. Maybe the nature of fast, the type of fast, the duration of fast would have been different. But one of the main reasons Allah Ta'ala has prescribed fasting over us is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can achieve this taqwa. A person is put to this practical exercise of abstaining, imsak. Siyam means imsak, to abstain. Abstain from what? Abstain from those things which are halal, usually halal for him. A person is put to this practical exercise of abstaining from those things which are usually halal for him, so that it builds him up. It builds him up so that he reaches a point where he would be able to abstain from those things which are haram for him. This is the exercise of fasting. A person continues to do this until he reaches a stage where he would be able to control and discipline himself in such a way that even out of Ramadan or in Ramadan, those things which are not permissible for him, he would be easily able to stay away from it. Now, like every other prescription, it has to be taken according to its directions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Kam min sa'imin laysa min siyamihi illa al-ju'." How many a fasting person there is, nothing he gets except hunger. We understand from this that hunger is not the objective of fasting. Fasting would encourage a person to be conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If somebody tells him something, he realizes, when I'm fasting, I don't want to spoil my fast. He continues like this until he reaches a stage where he now is receiving that quality of taqwa. Taqwa, that consciousness that Allah ta'ala is watching me. I am accountable to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for everything that I do. Now a person continues on his journey of taqwa. He continues on his journey of taqwa even after Ramadan. Allah ta'ala keep us strong even after Ramadan, inshallah. He continues on his journey of taqwa until he reaches the objective of taqwa, and that is the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muttaqeen. When a person has iman and then he adopts taqwa in his life, then he would then receive the muhabbat and the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allama Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayh, he has mentioned in his kitab Al-Aslabul Jaliba, the things that necessitate or pull a person to have and to achieve the taqwa, the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He has mentioned 10 things. Ramadan is the ideal thing to practice on these 10 points. So we'll go through the 10 points inshallah. The first thing that he has mentioned, that if a person does sincerely and continuously, then he will inshallah attain the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The first thing he mentions is ad-duburu fil Qur'an, to ponder over the message of the Qur'an. One is a person, and rightly so, in the month of Ramadan we are encouraged to increase our tilawat. But one is we recite and we don't know what it means. One is we take out some time to go to the authentic translation in tafsir, even if just a few ayats a day, and understand what is the message, what is Allah Ta'ala asking us to do. What is the message of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala? To tadabbur fil Qur'an. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not ponder over the message of the Qur'an? Or is there locks on their hearts? May Allah Ta'ala remove all the locks from our hearts. Let us take out the time and understand the meaning of the Qur'an Sharif. Let us understand what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. This is a direct message. Communication from Allah Ta'ala to His makhluk. Nobody in between. Direct message. This is what I want from you. Let us take out the time. Understand what is this message. Even if it starts off with the surahs that we recite in our Salah. Let us understand what is the meaning of the surahs. What is the tafsir of the surahs. And inshallah we will find a difference in our relationship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The second thing he has mentioned is at-taqarrub ila Allah bin nawafil, that a person gets closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by performing nafil actions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith he has mentioned, wama taqarraba ilayya 'abdi, that a person cannot gain proximity and closeness to me if he does not fulfill the farz actions. So first we have to fulfill the farz actions. And then after he says, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ مِن نَوَافِلٍ, Then my servant continues to come closer to me by performing nafil. Nafil actions. Whether it be nafil sadaqah, nafil salah, nafil fast, whatever nafil there is, ibadat, a person continues to come closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with this nafil actions. Hatta uhibbahu. Until he reaches a stage where I now love him. Hadith Sharif says, a person continues coming closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with nafil salah, or nafil actions, nafil ibadat, hatta uhibbahu, until I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. When I love him, then I would be the ears by which he hears and listens. I would be the eyes by which he sees. I would be the hands by which he grasps. I would be the legs by which he walks towards. This hatta uhibba. What this means, that now a person is only doing halal. With a person performing extra nafil actions, it leads a person to gain the muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So much so that the muhabbat is overwhelming, that now he is only involved in halal, nothing haram. We must understand something, that Allah ta'ala doesn't need us. Whether we perform our farz or nafil, Allah ta'ala doesn't need us at all. There's a story of a person in Iraq, husband and wife, a couple, many, many centuries ago in the olden days. This couple was going through a very difficult time financially. They didn't have anything at home. Reaching a point of desperation, the husband and wife make mashwara. They say that, now what are we going to do? We can't carry on like this, just now we'll die. Extremely difficult conditions. So they make mashwara and they say that the king of Iraq, he is responsible for his subordinates. He has to take responsibility of our condition. Mashwara is made that the husband will have to take a journey to the kingdom and meet the king and put forth his case. So before he embarks on his journey, the wife tells him that, you know, you can't go empty-handed. You have to take something for the king as a hadiah. So he says, it's true, I'm going to meet a noble person, I should take some hadiah. They look around in the house, there's absolutely nothing to take. Wife says, you can't go empty-handed. It's not the right thing to do. So they think and they think and they said, 1 minute, there is something that we have that the king might not have. And what is that? The small stream outside our house, it has absolutely sweet water. And I don't think the king will have this type of sweet water in his kingdom. So he takes a leather bag, he fills the water. Happily he found something to take for the king. He takes the water and he starts on his journey. Now, the olden days, the journey was a long journey on camel or horse. And in that long journey, the water bag got soiled, some sand filled in the water, it became muddy and smelly. But that's the only thing he had to take to the king. He reaches the kingdom, he asks the guards at the gate that he wants to meet the king. The guard tells him, who are you and where you came from? So he puts forward his case and he says, I need to meet the king. The guards feel pity for this person. They go to the king and they tell the king that this person has come and he wants to put forward his case. The king says, let him in. He comes before the king. He presents his hadiah to the king. When the king receives the hadiah, he looks at the condition of it, but he keeps quiet. He doesn't say anything. He tells the king that this is the only thing I could bring for you, and I don't think you have so much, so sweet water in your kingdom. So the king listens to him, and he listens to his plea. The king gives instructions to the guards, or to bondsmen around him, that what he has brought, this leather bag, fill it with gold and give him 10 times more and let him go back. But what you do is, when you're escorting him out of the kingdom, then just go past the Tigris River and then go out. So this person, he receives his gift from the king. He's absolutely delighted and happy. Now his poverty is over. He can keep him going for a little while. Now the guards, as they escort him out of the kingdom towards the Tigris River, when he sees the Tigris River, he gets an absolute shock at the size of this river, how it's gushing and flowing. He tells the guards, wait, hold on. He runs quickly to the river. He scoops up a palm of water and he sips it. And he finds that this water is 10 times sweeter than what he has brought for the king from his little stream at home. Then this person realizes that the king, he was a Kareem, a noble king. He didn't need the water, but he didn't say anything. No matter what condition it came into him, but he accepted it because he appreciated the efforts that this person took to bring the water. Like this, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need our broken ibadat. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need our ibadat. But Allah Ta'ala appreciates, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah Ta'ala appreciates when a person makes that effort, farz, nafil. Allah Ta'ala appreciates this. And then Allah Ta'ala loves this person. May Allah Ta'ala give us his muhabbat. Coming back to the points that Allama Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned, the third point which he has mentioned, دَوَامُ ذِكْرِهِ تَعَالَى عَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَالٍ. A person should be continuously involved in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Zikr jahri, zikr qalbi, zikr lisani. These are all types of zikr a person makes. A person doesn't have to sit in the masjid and make zikr. This doesn't mean that. Continuously making a zikr of Allah Ta'ala, wherever he is, on his lips, making the zikr. If he's not making zikr on the tongue, he's making zikr of the heart. But he is remembering Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. When a person remembers Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala remembers him. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. When a person remembers Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will also remember him. And this will be a means for gaining the muhabbat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The fourth thing that he has mentioned is إِثَارُ مَحَابِّهِ عَلَى مَحَابِّكَ عِنْدَ غَلَبَةِ الْهَوَى. When a person is overwhelmed with his desires and he loves something, at this point, when he puts a stop to his nafs, and obviously that is not halal, what he's liking, he gives preference to the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala over his own desires. He gives preference over his own desires to the desires and love of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. What Allah Ta'ala loves for me, that I'll do. So when a person does this continuously, then he achieves the muhabbat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The fifth thing which he has mentioned is مُطَالَعَةُ الْقَلْبِ لِإِحْسَانِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ لِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. A person ponders over the 99 names and sifat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He ponders over the meanings of these names, whether it be the Jamal of Allah Ta'ala or the Jalal of Allah Ta'ala. All the names, we should try and bahat the names, read the meanings of the names. Ponder, when we're talking to Allah Ta'ala in our dua, use this sifat, use this asma, and call unto Allah Ta'ala by these names, O my Kareem, O my Rahim, O Ghaffar al-Dhunub. All these names, they have deep meanings. A person should ponder over the meanings of these names, and Allah Ta'ala will grant him muhabbat, inshaAllah. مُشَاهَدَةُ بِرِّهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ وَنِعْمِهِ الْبَاطِنَ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ. The sixth thing which Allama Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned is for a person to witness and understand the bounties and the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed him upon. The person remembers that these are all the ni'mats. When a person remembers the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, then he forgets all his problems also. When a person remembers what Allah Ta'ala has given him, then he doesn't look at what Allah Ta'ala hasn't given him. If a person is feeling depressed and he ponders of all the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that's upon him, then this will be a means of his depression going away also. So to ponder over all the ni'mats and the bounties that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon a person, this will increase the love of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for a person and his love for Allah Ta'ala. The seventh thing, انكسار القلب كليته بين يديه. Allah Ta'ala loves for a person to completely submit himself. Completely submit in a way that he finds himself to be completely helpless. Completely helpless. That he shows that he cannot do anything. Everything is in the will and control of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala loves for a person, for a banda, to show this humility, this helplessness. Inkisarul qalb. Completely I am nothing. I am absolutely nothing. Allah Ta'ala loves this so much that when he does this continuously, Allah Ta'ala grants him his muhabbat. And this also increases a person's muhabbat for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The eighth thing which Allama Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned is Al-Khalwatu bihi waqtan nuzul al-ilahi. That for a person to remain in solitude at the time when the manifestation of Allah Ta'ala takes place. And this refers to the last portion of the night. The last portion of the night when Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is descending torrentially. A person to spend some time in khalwat, in solitude. Ramadan is the ideal opportunity. We are waking up for Sari. If you wake up a few minutes before that, or if a person finishes Sari, then a few minutes after Sari. But take out at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes to spend khalwat with Allah Ta'ala, to spend solitude. Only you and Allah, nobody else. No distractions, no cell phones, no family members. Just you, a bond with you and Allah Ta'ala. This will increase a person muhabbat for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This has been the habit of the pious, the Abu Salihin. The Hajjud Salah has been the habit of the pious. May Allah ta'ala make it easy for us to fulfill this action in the month of Ramadan and continue after the month of Ramadan. Khalwat bihi. Make solitude. Whether a person is reading Quran Sharif, or is reading the Hajjud Salah, or even is keeping silent and is making muraqabah. But at this specific hour, this Mubarak time, for him to do this at this time, is very, very beneficial for a person to gain the muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The ninth thing which he has mentioned is mujalasatul muhibbin as-sadiqin, to sit in the company of those who have the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. To sit in the company of those who have the muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This will definitely prove beneficial in a person attaining the muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the last and final thing which he has mentioned is مُبَاعَدَةُ كُلِّ سَبَبٍ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْقَلْبِ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That a person has to stay away from every means. Not stay away from the haram action itself, but every means that will take a person to and lead him to haram, then this is something which a person has to stay away from. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Stay away from zina and everything that causes a person to lead to zina. One is a person stays away from the actual thing. But if he's going to play along those lines, then it's very easy for him to fall into the action. But if he stops himself from the beginning, every possible route or journey that will take him to that wrong, if he stays away from that, then inshallah he'll be safe and he will attain the muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Muhabbat is such a thing, the ulama explain, that this is a shortcut to everything. This is a shortcut to everything. If a person has to undertake a long journey, then it's only long if he doesn't have the muhabbat of the destination. If there's muhabbat, then this is a shortcut to that destination. Ulama give an explanation, example of a person, a farmer. He has a few plots of land that he wants to do farming on. And all these plots are full of weeds. So one is this person, this farmer, he goes to the first plot, he starts de-weeding it. Then he comes to the second plot, he starts de-weeding it. By the time he reaches the third plot, the first plot is already starting to grow weeds. So he'll continue, I guess, pulling out the sin from a person's life, pulling out the sinner from a person's life. But the other route for this farmer is that he lights a fire on all the plots one time. When he lights the fire of love in the heart, then this is a means for him to leave all gunas out. So may Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to attain his muhabbat. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us in the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, to carry out these 10 points is a very easy and ideal opportunity. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us to carry out and inculcate these actions in our lives. Speaking about taqwa, we mention and we understand that taqwa is this consciousness that a person has to face Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. This continuous mindset, wherever a person is, whether he's a person is alone, he's amongst people, wherever he is, whether it's day or night, this consciousness that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is watching me. In Surah Tur, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions a small dialogue amongst the people of Jannat. A small dialogue amongst the people of Jannat. Allah Ta'ala said, we spoke about pondering over the meanings of the Quran Sharif. At-tadabbur of the Quran. When a person ponders over the meanings, then he gets a different flavor from his tilawat. He gets a different flavor from his salah. In Surah Tur, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. when all the people of Jahannam have gone to Jahannam and all the people of Jannat have gone to Jannat, then the people of Jannat will start asking one another. They'll have a dialogue amongst themselves. They will ask themselves, one another, what has brought you to Jannat? What is that actions that have brought you to Jannat? Although they all know what brought them to Jannat, but it's just for them to remind themselves. وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. They would say that we used to be in the world, we used to be amongst our families, but in this condition we were always fearing that Allah Ta'ala must bring us to Jannat. Continuously, despite being amongst our families, continuously we were worried about this fact that we must reach this successful point of Jannat. And Allah Ta'ala must save us from Jahannam. Mushfiqeen, they were always continuously worried about this fact. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And Allah Ta'ala, only because of His infinite bounty and mercy, only because of His bounty and mercy, not our own actions, He has blessed us and He has protected us and saved us from the azab of Jahannam. إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ نَدْعُوهُ إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلِ نَدْعُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْبَرُّ الرَّحِيمُ. We used to continuously make dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Again, this continuous consciousness, wherever a person is, always humbling himself, making dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, save us in the akhirat and enter us into Jannat. Ya Allah Ta'ala, give us the ability to fulfill the rites of Ramadan. Ya Allah Ta'ala, give us the ability to maximize the opportunities in the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.